Blog Talk Radio.
Smith, this is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. It is 7:30 here in the morning, December 1st, 2017. Glad to be here. And this is just a morning reflection, really looking at information I find helpful for my healing journey. Hopefully others are helping other people too. And hopefully you had a good week. My week was good. It was busy. It was there. Now it's gone. It's Friday. It's been pretty busy. And other than that, it's been pretty good. And hopefully yours has been too. So we'll get right into this. This is, information dealing with child abuse and adult survivor issues. So if you're a survivor who's on your healing journey and just starting out, you don't know, and you're not sure if this might trigger you or cause you to kind of be uncomfortable or go backward in your healing journey, you want to know if you're safe enough to be listening. And if you're not sure, you can get that information at havoca.org or ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program. They have a Survivor to Thriver workbook on their website, which is really great. And there's a Safety First chapter that you can look at, and it's like 60 pages plus long. It's huge, and it's worth looking at. It's really, I would recommend it. And I went through that information a long time ago. It was really helpful. And so you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening. If you're not sure what that is, it's better that you turn the show off and get that information. Or anything like this, really dealing with abuse. Because abuse stuff can trigger survivors of abuse. And then, listening to other people's talking about their, what they've went through, being abused. And just anything like this can trigger. So you have to make sure you're safe enough, really, so that you won't hurt yourself or hurt somebody else or just have a miserable day or go backward in your healing journey. So get that information. Keep yourself safe. And just turn the show off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. Anybody else listening, just listen at your own discretion. This show really is just looking at the topic of abuse and child abuse specifically. Horrific stuff. You have to know what's good for you to listen to, so make the right choice for yourself. And if you think the topics of abuse or violence or domestic violence or CSA child sexual abuse or anything like that is going to bother you, then you need to turn the show off and, use your own discretion, right? So we'll get right into this. This is a morning reflection, really. What can I do to help myself? This is why I started, this show really was also to help other people, but it was really for myself as well, to keep me sort of accountable so that I'll continue on my healing journey instead of putting things off, 6 months or a year or 2 years or whatever. It's real easy to do that. So I just thought, I'll just share this on Blog Talk Radio. So hopefully it is helping other people too. So morning reflection, how am I doing? How are we doing on our healing journey? Any particular things we need to work on? How are we feeling? This morning I'm feeling just pretty good. I'm just, I would say just tired. It's Friday. And kind of woke up a little bit of already overwhelmed. It's only 7:30 in the morning. And I've got a lot to do for the weekend, so it's not going to be very restful. and I'm just feeling a little bit overwhelmed already. So I'm going to have to make sure I get some downtime at some point for some self-care and just some relax, just breathe, just relax and take it easy. And but otherwise, I had a good week. Wasn't triggered all that much, just a little bit maybe. These last few weeks have been a little bit triggered. It might be the holidays coming up. I'm not real sure. Calendar dates can be very triggering. You know, can bring back memories or, you know, thinking about certain people or certain things or the abuse we suffered or whatever. So calendar dates can be quite triggering. And I love this season, especially for Christmas and whatnot. I'm a Christian, so, you know, I mean, I'm into Christmas. But so it's always a nice time of year for me. But then it brings up the whole issue of, you know, family. And I'm not my immediate family now, which is my husband, but my old biological family of birth, the abusive environment that I grew up in. Kind of some of that comes back a little bit, you know, because I remember what it was, you know, I remember certain things, especially around Christmas. So, yeah, it can be sort of triggering. So I would say, you know, we have to be careful and make sure that we're getting, you know, rest and proper rest, that we're getting our needs met, you know, make sure that if we need to talk to somebody that we do and not, you know, struggle on our own and, you know, just make sure that we get help, whatever help that is, right? So, yeah, we'll get right into this. We're looking at the last part of this anxiety section from Havoka, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, Havoka.org. It's under their Information for Survivors tab under anxiety. It's the last portion of this particular section. And I won't repeat what last Monday's show, but they were talking about ways we can help, you know, help ourselves, really. One was to try to concentrate on the here and now. We went through that one. Work out whether there are any specific situations that we find particularly alarming. Make sure that we're safe, right? Set our own pace, you know. No one can force us to do anything. We can set our own pace, right? Learn to relax, and that can help control the level of anxiety a person experiences. So that's true, and learning to relax is a big deal for, you know, for a lot of people who suffer from anxiety. And, you know, I mean, not everybody who's been abused will have anxiety issues, and not everybody who's has anxiety issues has been abused. All kinds of people have anxiety issues, but it does tend to be, you know, they have done the studies and found that people who have been abused quite often do have some anxiety, some level of anxiety. So it's pretty tough. Allow yourself breathing space, right? Do something you really enjoy or treat yourself. Take a step back and think about how you live your life, right? If you're overloaded, work out what's most important to you. Shed what's not. So, yeah, we were talking about that on Monday. Just, you know, prioritize. Like, that's what I was talking about. Just prioritizing what's important, what's not. The other stuff can wait. And next up from this morning, just to finish this off, is if someone else is making too many demands on you, for instance, your boss or a family member perhaps, try to work out a plan for talking to them about it without blaming them. It may help to do this with other people who are affected too, so you can deal with it together. Especially, yeah, I mean, if it's something that, you know, you share with somebody else that someone's making too many demands and putting too many burdens on, you know, that if there's more than one, you can get together as a group and talk to them about it, especially a boss situation or even a family situation if you come from a large enough family. But, you know, if it's an abusive person, well, then you might not get anywhere, right? Bosses can be abusive too, and so can family members. People can, right? This is a people issue. And anybody can be an abuser. Anybody can choose to abuse. They can choose to not abuse people, or they can choose to abuse people. It's a choice. And so, if someone's making too many demands, I guess we can try to work out a plan for talking to them without blaming them. I think what it is it's not the blame issue. I don't know why everybody has a problem with that. If somebody's doing something wrong, well, the blame does go on them. Absolutely. Whoever's causing the problem, that's where the blame goes. The issue is that with a boss, you know, you can't just run up to your boss and start screaming at them. There's a way to handle it. And same with family members. That's what I had to cut my toxic family off, because that's all they do is scream at each other. It causes me to scream back. And then before you know it, it's a big screaming match. Now as adults, when we were younger, we would have probably been duking it out. But it's like now, you know, we're older, so we don't duke it out anymore. We're too old for that stuff. So we just scream at each other, horrific stuff, and you know, you can't, we don't, it doesn't get anywhere. Nothing gets accomplished in that. And so same with the boss, you know, screaming at their staff. I mean, it's not okay, and it's not okay for us to be doing that to other people either. I think the thing to do is sit down and just talk about it and express our needs. You know, if somebody's placing too many demands on us, for instance, a loved one or a friend or a boss or whoever it is, we could sit down and just tell them about it and just say, look, you know, I'm finding this to be too much. And if they don't want to acknowledge that and help with the situation, then you know what kind of relationship you have with them. It's not going to really go very far if a person's not going to, this is me talking, this is not on their website, but, you know, I've had this happen to me lots of times, and it's kind of, you know, you try to engage with somebody and let them know, you know, that their demands are just too much, it's too difficult, and they need to back off a little bit. If they don't accept that and they just continue to do what they're doing, it means that they don't care. And there isn't any help in that situation normally. There's not much you can do unless you work for a union. If you have a union job and your boss is causing you problems and you can back it up with a union type thing, then you're all right. But in a family situation, people are going to treat you how they're going to treat you. Generally, talking to them about stuff doesn't necessarily change anything because it's just how they operate. And that's just the problem with the whole situation with people who are pushy or demanding or whatever. They don't see themselves that way. And many times if you try to tell them, well, you're just too demanding or what you're doing is making me uncomfortable or whatever, they don't see it that way, so they don't feel that they have a problem. They think you've got the problem. And so many times nothing gets done. Sometimes it doesn't do any good to talk to people about certain things. I've noticed that over the years. And you just have to leave the relationship. So I know that's happened to me. I mean, what I end up doing is leaving all relationships, really, except for my husband, who's my husband now. But, you know, relationships don't work for me because I find that people are not on the up and up, most likely. And I haven't run into too many people who I can actually trust. Even people I've hung around with for 12, 15 years turn out to be completely untrustworthy. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm done with that kind of stuff. And it's difficult. It's very difficult to find people that are trustworthy who actually don't just have their own interest in their mind or at heart, and that they actually do want it to be a two-way relationship, not just a one-way relationship. Because most people aren't thinking about stuff like this. They're thinking about how they can get their needs met. So it's not a mutual type thing. It's kind of like, no, this is the way it's going to be. So that's unfortunate. I've never actually been able to resolve anything in any situation except for with the man who is my husband right now. You know, where he was willing to bend, I was willing to also make some changes, and we actually worked it out. But for the most part, people are not willing to do that. That's unfortunate, but that's the truth of it. They also said here, take up a physical activity like walking, swimming, or yoga to help relieve tension. Excuse me. Yeah, like that's what I've heard is, you know, some exercise is good, you know, as far as helping with anxiety. Just because it does something with the brain. It releases chemicals like endorphins and stuff. And really, you know, obviously improves your health. And so you start feeling better, which then takes away some of the anxiety. So that's very important. That's what I need to do is start doing a systematic type exercise type program. And that I haven't done. Because it's last on the list, you know. I've got way too many other things going on. But I would probably feel better if I was doing that. So I know that makes good sense. So that was the last of their suggestions for the anxiety stuff. It's quite an interesting article, but set of articles. So they said here to finish it up. Before I didn't realize I had any choices. I found I had to work out for myself what my limitations were. What's important now is that I'm in control of getting myself right. I never realized. That others at work felt the same way until we talked about it. It was much easier to talk to the manager about it when it wasn't just yourself. So they said some people find it's not so important to look for answers about what caused them to be so anxious. And this person who wrote this said, I needed space to put all my energy into getting better first, and then I was able to look at why it happened. Not to blame anybody, but so I could stop it happening again. It is important to get in touch with this stuff, you know, because I know for myself, I used to be, before I started my healing journey at the age of 42, I was actually really, I've always been a friendly person. But if you cross me, I turn into a really nasty, ugly person because of the way that I grew up. You know, I'm just sort of mentoring my parents and mentoring my abusers. who, you know, when things went ugly, they were really ugly. I took that on as well. I mean, all of us did in the family. We could be really nice to people, and then as soon as somebody gets in my face and starts crossing me or causing me any kind of difficulty or problem, then I blow it all out of proportion. It becomes like a war. And I usually end up winning because I'm vicious. And I learned how to be vicious. I grew up vicious. I know how to do it. It's absolutely horrible. I can tear somebody down in a matter of seconds instead of building them up. But that's just if somebody crosses me and causes me any difficulties. I can be a very, very nasty person. I learned from some top people, right? My parents, who were very vicious and taught us all how to do that, right? And so I have to, now that I've been on my healing journey, especially, you know, later years, I don't want to be treated like that. So I try to remember that. It's like, don't treat people the way that you don't want to be treated. You don't like to be torn to pieces by somebody. So you need to not do that to others, you know? So I'm getting better at talking to people about things, and instead of just getting irate and, you know, causing a huge blowout situation, which is what I used to have problems with. But now it's kind of like, you know, I used to get thrown out of airports, you know, concerts. It didn't matter. I mean, I was the type that would, you know, probably be, you know, arrested or something, you know what I mean, and taken out in handcuffs. So, you know, I'm much better now than I used to be. I have things under control. But it's, you know, it's because I'm a better person now. I'm trying not to emulate my parents, right? Which is very, very important. Excuse me, I've got, this morning I just woke up and I'm sort of just trying to wake up here. So I have the chat room open. I don't know if anybody wants to sit in there or not, but it is open. I do have that open. But anyway, that's the end of that article, and I think I found it a little bit helpful. Not as helpful as some information I've seen out there, but still it's better. It's good to look at it. And next week, Monday, we're going to look at self-harm. That's from Avoca as well. We're just going through their information for survivors. Self-harm, help for adult victims of child abuse, Avoca. You can go there and check that out if you want to read that this weekend. It's actually, I haven't read through it because I don't read the stuff before I come on here. This is just the first time I'm seeing it. But it's, you know, any of the information on self-harm and help, self-harming and self-injuring is good for people to look at. And it's, we'll see what they have to say. But you can go ahead and read that article. It's Deb Martinson wrote it. From Havoka.org. What I want to look at next is positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk, looking at positives and progress instead of negatives, instead of always looking at the negative stuff that we're doing? Oh, I'm not doing this. I'm not getting this done. I'm just a loser, and all this stuff runs back into my mind. You know, I'm just a loser. I'm an idiot. I'll never make it. I can't do anything right. All this stuff that my parents, my abuser parents told me, and even my siblings reinforced later throughout my whole lifetime. Thanks, siblings. Thanks, brothers and sisters. I really appreciate that. But anyway, this is the problem with abuse. You know, it just keeps on going and going and going, just like the Energizer Bunny. So it's, you know, it's the leftovers I'm dealing with now, and the stuff that was just drilled into my mind and my thought patterns, you know, the way I look at myself and the way I look at how I react to things, and the fact that, oh, yeah, I'm an idiot. You know, I'll never get anything right. I don't even deserve to be alive on the planet, you know, as far as my parents were concerned. So, you know, that's really unfortunate, but that's the truth of it. So I have to go through and say, you know, what am I doing right in my daily walk? Well, first of all, I got up this morning, and I'm going to do the very best I can today to just do the best job I can. That's all I can do. I'll give it my best. It's not going to be perfect, and I'm going to make mistakes along the way somewhere. And what I'm going to do is just remember, treat myself well, treat others well, and, you know, build people up, not tear them down. Build myself up, not tear myself down. And be good to myself. That's about what I'm going to try to do today. That's all I can do, right? One day at a time, really. I mean, that song is pretty accurate. And it's, you know, it's from, you know, it just goes way back. I mean, we can only do today. Tomorrow's not even promised, and yesterday's gone. So today I have to say, well, what can I do today to help myself? And what am I doing right in my daily walk? Well, I'm getting up this morning with a good attitude. I'm going to do the best I can today, and I'm going to try to find some time to just experience some joy in this day, and which is true happiness, true peace, right, inner joy. And to be thankful, you know, for what I have, and to think about the people around the world who are struggling and suffering, because that's very important for me to do, because it keeps me humble, You know, I remember people. I don't just think of myself all the time, you know. I think a lot about people who are struggling around the world and in all kinds of horrible situations, and I think about these kids out here who are being abused, and I sit here and I think about what I've gotten, how, you know, how, that I've been so blessed, you know, and to be able to sit here today at this age, I never thought I'd make it. I never thought I'd be here today. So I try to remember to be thankful throughout the day. So these are positives, you know, whatever we do, whatever we can do to help ourselves and be good to ourselves and to treat others around us right and to get ourselves some help if we need it, whatever it is we need to do, right? So Boca has some self-esteem affirmations. I want to look at one. This one next up is, I am fully competent and capable in everything that I decide to do. Well, I could say that all day. I'm fully competent and capable in everything that I decide to do. Well, I mean, these things make me laugh, but it shows you, it does give you something to work from. It's like a springboard, right? I'm fully competent and capable in everything that I decide to do. Actually, that's just not true. I'm not competent and I'm not capable of doing most things that I decide to do. But I'm brave enough to try. And so, and quite often I fail, which sets me up for, you know, possible, misery, you know, I'm just the loser, I'm this and that. But I always give myself a pat on the back for trying. Because I know, you know, my skill levels are what they are. You know, I know what my limitations are. I'm fully competent, capable of everything that I decide to do. It's just not true, but what I do is I just do the best that I can do, and that's all I can do. I make mistakes. I'm not fully competent in anything. I don't think anybody is. It's kind of a lie we can tell ourselves. Capable in everything that I decide to do. Nobody's fully capable of doing anything. It's a matter of what you try to do and just keep working at it, keep working at it, keep working at it. And you eventually do get some skill at it, you know. And that's what I'm doing, is trying to learn how to do life, you know. So I'm fully, what I'm competent and capable is in my belief that I can do whatever it is that I decide to do. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be the best job I can do. And I'm going to be happy with that, because that's about all I can do. We're just humans. We're not perfect. We're fallible. And for me to walk around thinking that I'm perfect and completely capable is really a nonsense. Anything that I decide to do, I usually put 110% effort into it. You know, I give it my all. And sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes it does. And, you know, certain things, you know, I'll fail at. Other things I do really well at. So what I do is I just don't worry about the stuff that I can't do. Work on the stuff that I can do. And keep learning, you know, to try to do a better job all the time of taking care of myself, getting things done, getting, you know, keeping things going, you know, learning how to cope, learning how to get through life, right? Just managing this stuff. And I think at the end of the road, that's all I can do. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with the results of everything that I decide to do, because I do give it at least 110%, and, sometimes fail, sometimes don't. So, you know, this is it. It's very important to realize, like, we can only do the best job we can do. Sometimes it's not going to be good enough. It's definitely not going to be good enough for somebody else. That's why whatever I do, I don't do anything for anybody else. Because it's never going to be good enough for somebody else, right? Basically, whatever I do it for me. Because it's got to, that's the only person that really matters to is me. So I'm never looking for accolades or a pat on the back or, oh, look at you, you know. I don't want any of that garbage. You know, what I do it for me. And that's just so that I can wake up the next day and say, well, I tried. I really tried to do a good job today. I'll just try tomorrow to do a better job. You know, that's all I can do. That's all we can do, right? It's not about trying to, you know, make people believe that I'm capable or fully competent in everything I decide to do. It's for me. I don't do that for other people. I don't do much for other people as far as that kind of stuff goes, because I'm not looking for, what do you want to call that? Acceptance from that kind of stuff. Because that's pretty, you know, it comes and it goes. It ebbs and it flows. You know, sometimes you'll have people that'll support you and sometimes you don't. So if that's what you're looking for, you're headed for a heavy fall. You have to really work on stuff to take care of yourself for you, you know, and then enjoy the people around you as well. But it's not about, you know, how somebody else makes me feel. It's about how I feel about myself. That really counts. Somebody else might care about me very fleetingly, or, you know, fickle, sort of, you know, oh, I like you one day, but I don't like you the next day. That's usually what it is. So basically, I don't work towards that kind of stuff. I just work towards trying to learn to love myself learn to take care of myself, and then learn to help other people too, right? It's very important. Self-care, what are we doing spiritually, you know, physically, emotionally, to care for ourselves? What can we work on? I know physically I need to work on some stuff. I'm still working on that. Spiritually, I'm in a great place. Emotionally, I'm still working on some stuff. You know, I was pretty triggered this last few weeks and still working through some things. So I plan on doing a little bit of that this weekend, maybe going in and doing some inner child work. But got about, a minute or so left here. So that's, actually we have a couple minutes left. Yeah, we've got a sort of a inner child program that I went through. It was called Your Envisioned Mind. It's very helpful. But I do have to go in and do the work, and I haven't been doing that, so I need to go in and do some work just to make, you know, just to make sure everything's going good inside. So with my inner children, which is really bizarre, but it's true. So that I'm going to work on, but everything else is good. You know, physically, I'm just working on trying to incorporate some exercise in there and trying to take better care of myself, which is very difficult for me because I wasn't shown how to do that. My parents didn't take care of themselves, and it just wasn't condoned. And also my siblings, I mean, they committed suicide, you know, drug use, overdose. You know, I sort of copied all of that until I was in my 20s. And then I just still didn't really look after myself because I didn't care about my body. I'm like, whatever, nobody, I mean, my body's ruined, so why should I care about it, sort of thing. And I mean, that's sad, but that's true. That's just where my mind was for so many years, is that, you know, my body, I never was comfortable with it anyway because of the physical abuse and the CSA child sexual abuse. I hate my body. And what it is that's the old part of me that hates what happened to me. I don't really, you know, today necessarily hate my body, but that's the way I feel. So it's kind of, I have to remember, like, no, we don't hate our body. And it gets us around. We need to take care of it. You know what I mean? This is my body to get around on the earth. I need to take care of it. And so I've had to learn how to do this stuff. It's really difficult because I have to change all these habits, these bad, horrible habits of not taking care of myself. And it's a big job, you know, addictions, right? Nicotine. I got rid of the drugs. So I don't do drugs anymore. But, you know, I smoke and I drink coffee and I don't really... I'm more into my coffee, you know, and my cigarettes. I do eat, and I eat a little bit too much and the wrong foods. So I just kind of don't take care of myself, and I really got to start changing my spots. I got to change my ways. So, you know, these are the things we need to look at, and it's a hard deal because I don't want to. I'm perfectly comfortable doing what I'm doing, and I don't want to make a change because it's gonna mean change, and I don't want to do that. I love my coffee. I absolutely love coffee. And it's a big problem for me to give coffee up. I don't know how I'll do. I don't know how that's going to happen, but it's a serious issue. So these things are, you know, I'm trying to work on learning how to, as far as my addictions go, I'm going to eventually be doing the addiction work and get that done. I haven't done it so far because I just really honestly, I'm just using this stuff to cope, to get through because my husband's terminally ill. I'm exhausted, almost everything, because he can't really do anything. And so I'm doing two people's work as well as I have to work full time, and I have to look after my husband who's terminally ill. So it's a very difficult job, and I'm using coffee and cigarettes, really. I mean, that's just my thing, you know. That's what's keeping me sort of sane in all of this. So I'm going to work on that, you know, some other time. Not really worried about it. But what I am going to try to do is try to eat better and get some exercise, right? So we have about a minute left here. Let's look at a brainy quote. I like these. These are so cool. How about this one? This is a brainy quote. This is from their motivational quotes. They said you can use them, just you have to tell where you got them. So that's brainyquote.com. And this one's from Thomas A. Edison. Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time. I love that. Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. That's right. Do not give up. Not ever. If you're struggling, you're having a hard time, I'm telling you right now, you call somebody. You call a crisis line, but you call somebody. If you don't have anybody to talk to, you know, quite often we don't, then you get help. Reach out, call a crisis line. That's what I'm going to do. And, you know, you don't give up. Not ever, ever, ever. Because I know that's basically my mantra is, you know, I'm not ever going to give up because that allows my abusers to win. And I'm not doing that. My brothers lost their fight because what, you know, they really basically killed themselves, two of my brothers, and my abusers won in that case. So, you know, our abusers. So, you know what? No, I'm going to win this fight, and I hope that you'll stick it out and win it with me. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday. Take good care of yourselves.